C, the model Catholic social cell, the Holy Family of Nazareth. When Catholic family life is being attacked on every side, it is well for us Catholics to keep before our minds the model of family life set up by God for our guidance and imitation. The disorder of modern society results in the passions of youth being played upon by numberless agencies. In the life of passion, it is the material element in us, the source of division and separation, that dominates. The results are inevitable. Self-centeredness and selfishness in every form are engendered. Young people come to refuse the sacrifice required of them by their own families, and thus unfit themselves to be parents and heads of families later on. Again, there is, on the one hand, a revolt against work, due in part to the promptings of selfish laziness and in part to the propaganda which, as we have seen, affirms that, by state organization and direction, a new Garden of Eden, in which there will be little or no work, can be brought into existence. On the other hand, the very organization and direction, wherever attempted, deforms the whole idea of work by subordinating man to production and production to financial schemes. It has been thought well, then, to put before readers of this work something about the model of Catholic family life, the Holy Family of Nazareth, and then to study Jesus, God, and man, especially as workmen, utilizing some of the documents in which the Sovereign Pontiff has spoken to us of the Holy Family and its members. The Holy Family. In the Apostolic Letter, Novum Argumentum, on the Holy Family, November the 20th, 1890, Pope Leo XIII insists on the fact that the Holy Family is the model of those domestic and social virtues required for the regeneration of human society. Pope Leo XIII writes, quote, "We are confident that all the faithful, once they understand that in honoring the Holy Family, they are venerating the mystery of the hidden life which Christ led in the society of his Virgin Mother and Saint Joseph, will be greatly stimulated to increase the fervor of their faith and to imitate the virtues which shone forth in the Divine Master, the Mother of God, and her most holy spouse. These virtues, as we have more than once pointed out, obtain the reward of eternal life, and at the same time advance the prosperity of domestic and civil society, which is so grievously disturbed at the present time. The common good of the state, of which the family is the foundation, necessarily follows when the families which compose it live holily. But our confidence increases still more when we reflect that the members of the society of the Holy Family, of which we have just spoken, by assiduously imploring help from Christ our Lord, through the merits of his Virgin Mother and Saint Joseph, will undoubtedly receive gracious assistance to live holily and to rejoice that in their homes, concord, charity, patient endurance of adversity, as well as good morals, flourish." End of quote. The same pontiff returns to the inculcation of those ideas in the brief Nemi Name Fugit of June 14, 1892. Quote, "When God, in his mercy, had determined to carry out the redemption of the human race, a work which had been longed for down the ages, he so arranged the nature and order of that work that its very beginning should present to the world the august spectacle of a divinely constituted family, in which all men should behold a most perfect model of family life, displaying every virtue and radiating perfect holiness. Such was the family of Nazareth, in which the Son of Justice lay hidden until he allowed the fullness of his light to flash forth over all people. Christ, our God and our Savior, with his Virgin Mother and Saint Joseph, who occupied the place of Father to Jesus. It is certain that all the praise and glory to God, which mounts up from mutual love, from holiness of life, and from the exercise of piety in domestic society and family life, were to be seen at their highest in that sacred family, which was to be the model for all others. It was, accordingly, so constituted by a benign counsel of Providence that all Christians of every rank and situation, if they turn their thoughts to this holy family, may be drawn to the practice of every virtue, seeing that it displays them all. Fathers of families have in Joseph an illustrious example of vigilance and practical foresight. In the most holy Virgin, Mother of God, mothers have a perfect model of love, modesty, submission, and perfect fidelity. In Jesus, who was subject to them, children have a divine exemplar of obedience to admire, adore, and imitate. People of noble birth will learn from this family of royal lineage how to be temperate in prosperity and in affliction to retain their dignity. The wealthy will learn from it how much virtue is to be preferred to riches. Working men and all those who are keenly afflicted by family cares and the meagerness of their resources, if they turn their eyes to these holy ones who form the domestic society of the Holy Family, will have reason to be pleased rather than grieved with their lot. In common with the Holy Family, they have to toil and meet the difficulties of daily life. Joseph had to provide for the needs of his family out of his wages. The divine hands themselves had to ply the artisan's tools. No wonder, then, that wise men possessing great riches should wish to get rid of them and should elect to live in poverty with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Rightly and appropriately has the cult of the Holy Family come into vogue amongst Catholics, and each day that passes sees it increase. The proof of this is to be seen in the establishment of associations of Catholics under the invocation of the Holy Family, the special honor paid to it, and especially the privileges and favors granted by our predecessors in order to stir up devotion towards it. This cult, already in honor in the 17th century, was widely propagated throughout Italy, France, and Belgium, and spread through almost all Europe. Thence it crossed the wide expanse of the Atlantic to America, extended through the length and breadth of Canada, and flourished under happy auspices. For Christian families, nothing more salutary or more beneficial can be conceived than the example of the Holy Family, which is the embodiment of all the domestic virtues in their highest perfection. Therefore, let fervent prayers from every fireside be addressed to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. May they graciously listen to them, maintain charity, regulate conduct, and spur on to virtue in imitation of themselves. May they soften and make more bearable the hardships which meet poor mortals on every side. End of quote.